Welcome to Cairo Feast, where we are serving up big helpings of wisdom in the successful practice of chiropractic, the world of entrepreneurialism, and extra servings of mentorship to navigate this wonderful experience we call life. My name is Dr. Jeff Danielson. I've built, bought, and sold many chiropractic practices and currently own 19 limited liability corporations. I love the entrepreneurial spirit, and I pay it forward through a company called Big Fish Enterprises. I coach and mentor business owners so they don't repeat the mistakes that I made in my career. Every week, we cover a topic that will help make you a better leader and a better entrepreneur. Or maybe it's just going to be a topic that helps you become a better person. You'll want to share these episodes because in life, it is always better to pay it forward. And now, let's get into today's topic. Come and get it, everybody. Cairo Feast is online and we are ready to serve. So I've got a wonderful guest for us today. We are going to talk business, but I have a feeling we're going to talk personal experience as well. I think this is going to be heartfelt. And I'm excited for the next period of time. I don't know if this is going to be a half hour, hour. I don't know. We could probably talk all day, Mark. But I want to introduce to you Mark Henderson Leary. Welcome to Cairo Feast.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Jeff. It's a real privilege, and I'm very excited to get the conversation going.
Yeah, you know, we were introduced by a person that connected us, also named Mark. And he is 100% all in on EOS system, you know, and we're going to talk a little bit about EOS and getting traction and that kind of thing in business. But this conversation is going to be heavy on business. It's going to be heavy on experience and getting control of your business. And that is something we are so bad at. And when I say we, I'm talking about practitioners, healthcare practitioners. We are heavy on caring about people, and we are really light on running a good business. And so I'm thankful for people like you, Mark, that are willing to help those of us that are you know, in the business of caring for people. So maybe we'll start, Mark, just so people know kind of a little bit about who you are, where you came from, and how you got to where you are today. Tell us your story, if you would.
Yeah, I love it. So I'll try to simplify it because there's a lot of little tributaries that could be distracting. But to paint the picture, my purpose now, I'm purpose driven around helping entrepreneurial healthcare leaders really run practices that make an amazing impact, that are healthy cultures, that are fun to run with people you love, that make a massive impact, that leads to great outcomes and a great life. And how I got there was that I didn't start anywhere near healthcare. I was what I call the classic flavor of the month CEO, which is to say I was running a technical services organization and I was struggling, right? So every month I had a new thing, a new system, a new tool, a new book under my arm coming, all right, guys, this is what we're going to do. This is going to bust through the ceiling and we're going to be there. And next month, like, well, here's the next ceiling. And every single month there was something, a sales or a marketing or a hiring or a project management or a cultural thing, whatever, some new thing. And every month for, we'll call it 7 short years of that, every single month, this close to blowing up and getting there. Eventually I was able to sell the business and I had cobbled together enough tools to put together what I would have called at the time a system. And I was lucky enough, the company I sold my business to let me run the growth strategy for them, despite not being an owner. And we were very successful getting that company to go from about $7.5 million in services revenue to something like $20 million in services revenue while I was there. And I thought, this is a lot of fun. This is great to be able to do this. And it was after that that I was exposed to the system that I teach now, which I want to park that for the time being. The operating system is called EOS, but that's not the central part of the story here. The journey after that was using that system, helping entrepreneurs, helping leaders who felt like they sucked at being that, break through the ceiling to simplify the business, to make a big impact, was an absolute passion for me. It's like, you don't have to spend 7 years doing that. Now, fast forward a little bit, I've been helping people do that in all kinds of industries. And somewhere in there, I accidentally found myself exposed to several different types of healthcare businesses. And what I was struck by was that two things. One was that I, in a technical services, I was trying to sell somebody a service they didn't actually want to buy, right? They didn't want to have computers in their business if they were a wealth management company or a property management company. They had to have computers, and we had to support, and they didn't want to spend money for us. And so the value I was providing was a necessary evil. They didn't like being my customer because they didn't want to be in the first place. Healthcare, it doesn't even matter what aspect, from chiro to optometry to plastic surgery, we are healing people, making people whole, getting people back on the track, getting people back into life, getting people to feel better about themselves. There's the massive value we have to offer. It is unquestionably of the highest demand, right? Yep. So opposite end of the spectrum, we are own goaling all the time, shooting ourselves in the foot with just silly things that no other business could even try to get away with. And so the gap of dysfunction to value was so massive.
Yes.
I've been obsessed with, wow. And well, for the first part of the journey was like, is there, what am I missing, right? Like, so it's really easy to sort of be dropped into the healthcare world and say, well, Mark, you don't understand. This is how it works. I'm like, that's probably fair. That's true. Like, why aren't you, I'm bringing principles very innocently into the organization. I've got all my different types of businesses. All right, here's how we're going to structure the organization. We're going to create teams. We're going to lead them. We're going to do this. And everybody in the organization needs a leader and a manager. And somebody says, well, we're not going to do that with the doctors. All right. Okay. So fine. Weird. I guess I don't know. Next business, same kind of thing. It's like, yeah, okay, we got to lead the doctors. We're not going to lead them. Okay, is the second or third one? What am I missing? I'm pretty sure this principle applies. And so I got very passionate about, like, I'm pretty sure this principle applies. So I had to really push and kind of, it was very much like I was testing a theory. Like, I think we need to do this. And then once I found some best in class organizations, I was like, are you leading the doctors? Yeah, we're leading the doctors. yeah, we got to tell them. I know you talk to them differently, and there's a little bit. But yeah, but we got to tell them what to do. So I'm not crazy. These principles apply. And so it's been just amazing to see that we can bring some very proven tools, very proven concepts into a world that has been taught all kinds of crazy stuff for generations, and really unlock the potential to have healthy cultures that we love working in, where it does change from a scarcity mindset of like, please stop wasting money on Q-tips that are too expensive. And, we can't overpay our tax, and we can't, just cost-minded to like, hey, I actually love coming here. These people care about the patients. We can be patient-focused, patient-driven. Everybody in the organization can feel like they're empowered and have a way to make another human being's life a little bit better. It is 100% possible to do that. So that's kind of the journey.
Yeah, I love that image, that gap that you mentioned. It is, I guess I'd never thought of it that way. That's a beautiful way to think about it, because it is so huge when you look at the value that clinics deliver and the product, which is better health. I mean,
yeah, you're right.
In my world, Mark, I'm a faith-based follower of Jesus Christ. And in my world, salvation is the number one thing. But right under that is your health. I mean, if you don't have your health, you've got nothing. And there's such a gap, because these healthcare providers are so bad at business. So what I want to, I want to jump into a couple of nuggets here. How do you start bridging that gap? Like there's got to be so many steps to get somebody closer to bringing the business strength to the value of what you're delivering as well. So how do you start? If you've got somebody brand new that you're working with, how do you start with them?
So there's a tactical answer to that and a strategic answer. The tactical answer is, it's a complex system. So or it's a complex problem. Complex problems don't solve the way simple problems do. Simple problems require solutions. I have a question, I have an answer. Yep. Complex problems require systems. So to just to be, if you're running the practice and you're thinking, I would love it to be healthy, where do I start? Well, that just means you're normal. And so implementing a business operating system like EOS, that's just sort of prescription one. Like, you don't have to implement EOS. That's what I choose. I'm super passionate about it. I think it does the best job of simplifying complex problems. And so that's my recommendation, but that's not what you have to do. But that is step one. But like, I'm sure you're that turning on exactly no lights. So strategically, the where do you start answer is, first of all, have some faith that you have an implicit vision, meaning you might be a little confused. Everybody in the organization might not be on the same page, but there's something at least getting this ship to kind of go roughly the same direction through the water. And so you don't have to get your clarity exactly right on day one about exactly the impact you're going to make in the world 3 years, 10 years from now. That's not really step one. Step one is, what would happen if we had some focus? What would happen if we understood that not everybody in this organization was going to be great at everything? And if we got who's leading this organization and figuring out the 3 to 7 major functions in the organization, this is sort of the stuff it's very much the stuff that's in EOS. We're going to figure out the major functions of the organization, and we're going to put people in charge of them who actually have the abilities to drive accountability of those things. And once we get some focus of what we're trying to accomplish and put some accountability, some magic starts to happen. We start to see some people really making a difference and some people who are really not capable. And we're going to have to make some people shifts and changing the mindset to getting comfortable with accountability.
Now, a lot of times, and I know you've worked with all different size groups. A lot of our listeners here are chiropractors or, kind of solopreneurs that want to grow and want to have more team and more staff. But if you don't have people to delegate to and to hold accountable, and you're kind of starting with that person in the mirror.
Yeah.
And delegating your tasks to that person and then holding that person accountable. How does that change kind of how you start working with somebody who's, maybe more brand new?
So there's a lot of different scenarios, but I'm going to go to this one particular aspect of this that's so common. It's the identity question. Like, what's my role? Who am I? And it might not sound exactly associated, because I hear what you're saying. It's a very, very common thing. Well, who am I going to delegate this to? I don't know, because what is this? And that you have to start with, what am I going to delegate? And this is the three roles of the healthcare practitioner that start to need some clarity. And the first myth is that you can do them all three. And what each of the three are is, I am an individual contributor who can heal people in some capacity. I can help them see better. I can crack their back. I can do plastic surgery. I can put them out with anesthesia, whatever that skill set is. That is, let's make no mistake, that's an individual contribution role. That is not a leadership role. High value. So that's important to note, that individual contributorship is not devalued. Plastic surgeons, inventors, amazing negotiators, individual contributors. Like, that's, so let's just get clear. It's a craft. And high value crap. Is that what you're going to do? Is that your highest superpower? Let's compare it to the alternatives. Is there somebody who's going to create a vision for this organization, who's going to truly lead it, truly set the vision, truly imagine the future? And there's a common DNA between individual contributors and visionaries, but they are different. The role is very different in the end. They tend to align. You got to choose typically. The third role is, for lack of a better term, and it's actually a great term, it just doesn't sound flashy when you say it, are you going to manage the business? And this is the missing skill. Like, it's like, most people get exposed to business and they see management flow into a title, and they sort of see management as like status or something that they are the chair, the job. But management is actually a specific set of skills that has to do with communication, accountability, and making sure people are doing what they're supposed to do. That is not necessarily, and most of the times not at all, hands-on. It is about cultivating people and making sure people are in play. It's like the head coach of the football team. They're making sure the team is winning by watching the obstacles and doing the math and checking the stats and making sure that people are in the right place, never on the field. That's what management is. So as the practitioner, you have to say, well, if we're going to grow this business, which one am I leading to? And which is going to start with, which one am I going to let go of? And you will have to have, as the business scales, someone else doing that. Yeah. So as you start to see what your superpower is, I want you to start thinking that superpower is probably a 10x contribution to the organization, probably the most expensive resource you can provide. So when you start delegating, your mental math has to see, well, this is a $200 to $2,000 to $20,000 an hour contribution that I need to preserve and protect. So if I can get somebody for $25 an hour to do something that takes away from that, that is a 10x, 100x value increase. So dipping your toe into, well, who can I get to help? Who can I get to take the email off my plate? Who can I get to take the front desk out? How can I, anything on your plate that takes away from your massive contribution in those three areas? Because by the way, those are the three areas that you must choose from. There are a bunch of other areas that I don't even want you considering, right? I didn't give them names. Those need to be in somebody else's court.
So if you're looking at somebody who says, well, I want to spend more time, growing and being the visionary, I'm too caught up in the details of dealing with the minutiae, providing the service. And how do I ramp myself out of the minutiae so that I have more time to be the visionary?
How do you get out of the minutiae? Well, there's too many scenarios to cut. I mean, are you thinking somebody, give me something specific. I want to kind of unpack a specific scenario, like size of the organization.
Yeah. So I'll make something up here. We've got, let's say it's a young chiropractor who is, running the front desk, brand new practice, just started. So doing everything, in charge of, cleaning the office at the end of the night, as well as answering the phones and doing the scheduling and providing the service for the patients, doing the books, doing the marketing, and so caught up in all those pieces that they lose sight of when to make the proper decision on when I have to kind of take the big gulp to invest in other people.
Right. Okay.
I don't know when to.
Yeah, so that scenario helps me because there's a line, we'll call it a line of differentiation between the entrepreneurial startup side of this. It's not the right words, but you'll get what I'm talking about. And they're sort of like scale up. So the second scenario of the scale up is, by hook or by crook, you got to be big enough that there's some significant revenue and there's a bunch of people running around, and like, they're probably not super organized, but like, there's like, it's a business, arguably, at least looks like it on the outside. I mean, inside it doesn't feel like that. That's one scenario. That's a different mindset than I'm ahead of that. Like I'm just scaling up. I barely have any help, it feels like, at all. There's nobody really around. I can't see my way to buy much of anything or invest on this. This is truly the entrepreneurial leap. This is where you need to read Gino's book, The Entrepreneurial Leap, and ask yourself, where is this going? Because I wish I had a silver bullet to get you to just take the pain away. But the actual answer is, get ready for a lot more pain. Because you're going to have to see a path across the chasm, across the canyon, and you're going to go down into the canyon before you come up on the other side, because you're not going to be able to afford some of these things. You're going to have to burn more hours. You're going to have to map out your highest value, and you're going to map out your lowest value, and you're not going to see a great way to do it other than to brute force at times, to stay later, to come in when somebody else doesn't come in, and you don't have the backup for that. So you got to have the belief that you're and eyes open, right? It's not for everybody. If you have the mindset to take risks and to push to the other side of the canyon, you know, Gino's book is phenomenal about telling you about what the mindset is going to help unpack the resilience and the grits and the risk taking and the sacrifices that go with it to get to the other side of the canyon. And it's worth it for people who are built for that. If it's not for you, then you really should think about what do I want to create? The lifestyle business. I really want this to have just the right income. I want this to be a scaled version of myself, because the type of help you're getting is very different. If I want to build a scaled practice, I'm leveling up my skill set of hiring an assistant support person who could be ultimately a team leader, ultimately could be a manager. And I'm going to keep my mind around real business skills and how to be profitable in a more complex P&L. And I'm going to understand finance at a deeper level. And I'm going to figure out how to, you know, to make bigger investments. And if am I going to acquire down the line, very different set of learning for you as a leader, as opposed to, all right, no, I'm just a practitioner and I need a virtual assistant that I can afford. I need, you know, one or two good sort of people out front. And I'm just going to hire to that. And not overinvest, because if you do, you won't get that money back out, because you're not going to scale up to make it worth it. Because it does gets way worse before it gets way better. It's very much like Dante's Inferno.
Yeah. I think one of the big things in my profession, and I think this is true of dentists, I think it's true of optometrists, you know, is there's such a fear of risk. You know, there's maybe a desire to take risk, but to actually take the risk. To have that mindset of, no, this is what you do to become the entrepreneur, to become the business owner that has the business where there's, you know, chaos around you. There's people doing stuff, you know, and making that leap. It just, in my experience, just seems like it's so common. How do you get people to accept risk? Is there a path to that, or is there just people that are going to be risk averse for the rest of their lives?
Well, okay. So a couple of things to unpack. First of all, I don't believe it's for everybody. And I don't think everyone should be taking risks, like, at all. And the future world that I hope we're creating is an entrepreneurially rich community of 1 to 100 entrepreneurial healthcare leaders to 99 entrepreneurial followers. Meaning that the healthcare mindset of, it used to be 90% independent practice. Now it's 90% institutional, and everybody hates institutionals. That's the current paradigm. So people are not wanting to start their own practices for very good reason. What I'm finding is that there's a strong entrepreneurial community of people who want to build these mid-sized to growth practices, who are culture driven and health and outcome driven, and they love the work and they love the what they do. And so the choice doesn't have to be, I have to create this. I think that the best model is a handful of people who do have the appetite for risk, who can create something that the majority of graduates are like, you know what? That place looks pretty fun. Actually, I want to go work there. I don't need to go take the risk. I just want to contribute to the vision that they've already set up, because we're allowing humans, not private equity, not exit-driven outcomes. People are like, no, this actually matters to me. I really care about people. I really want to love coming to work. And even, by the way, there are private equity firms that actually believe that. They're not the majority, but it's out there. So there are humans in the world who care about this stuff. And we don't need that many. We honestly don't need that many to create really great outcomes. So I'm not encouraging somebody to take the risk who's not fit for it. But how do you get somebody to really take entrepreneurial risk? 90% of the time, it's ignorance or lack of other opportunities. The fear, you know, getting fired, let go, private equity, massive shift. I got nothing else to do. I guess I'll do it. And that is one of the things that really drives so much of the entrepreneurial community. Because if you see the highly educated communities, all the Harvards and all that, to go to work for the big firms and the MBAs, it's such a different ethos than the entrepreneurial community. Lots of education in there, but it's much more, for lack of a better term, cowboy, street smart, you know, battle ready. It's like, you know, it's so pragmatic. The language and the demeanor of entrepreneurs is so like, let's go to war. Let's, you know, what you got, you know, let's do this, as opposed to this very buttoned down, planful MBA. Well, here's the detail, but that, those are totally different worlds. And yeah. It has a lot to do with the circumstances of what it takes to just sort of like, well, I didn't intend to be in this war, but I'm here. And so we're going to start this business. We're going to solve this problem. I got tapped. I didn't even want to be here, but now I see the problem and I see, I got a solution. It's kind of me, right? I'm like, I did not set out to go tackle this problem in healthcare. It was sort of like, oh shoot, here it is. Oh man, I got the tools. I think we can do something here, and let's go. And so much of my journey was like, man, if I knew what I was about to encounter, I never would have done it.
So, you know, it's interesting. I love that. You know, just kind of vision, you know, calling them cowboys, going to war. You know, and you know, just battle ready. That kind of is the feeling. So, but those are people that, you know, need a little bit of direction, and that's the business that you're in. You know, you're trying to, you know, herd cats, you know, or herd cowboys, you know, trying to get them to go the right direction. Right. How do you help somebody with a battle ready, battle mind, make sure that they're headed in the right direction to fight the right fight and to do it in the right way?
Well, so yeah, you know, to that point, I was an entrepreneur multiple times over, where it many times, well, like in my first business, well, second business, I just remember thinking, I woke up in the middle of the night, need to use the restroom. And I would just in the middle of the night, kind of a weird story, but I just remember thinking, you know, it's like 2 a.m. and my adrenaline is just, you know, not normalized. My adrenaline in the middle of the night is high. I'm on high alert right now. And I was just acutely aware of the fact that as an entrepreneur, it was battle. That, you know, we were ready for incoming at any moment. Like, where was rent coming from? Where are we going to hire the next group of people? What was the next client that was potentially going to go out of business or be sold or fired or whatever? So it was a completely different mindset. And I felt, especially in the early days, well, definitely in the early days, like, this was a terrible idea. Like, this is scary constantly. And I think I've bitten off too much. Like, I don't know if I can handle this. You know, fast forward, I handled it, you know, more skills, more confidence, take another challenge. It's like, oh shoot, now I really leveled it up. I really bit off too much. I really never doing this again. And then becoming an EOS implementer and becoming a cult and coach and becoming, it sounds like a cult, becoming a coach. And the 2-year journey of, for me and a lot of people, it's a little shorter, a lot of people it's longer, but like, it was a 1 to 2 year journey. I'm like, man, I really did it again. I really bit off too much. So my passion is to say, like, hey, what can I, you know, it's almost like Virgil in the, you know, like, if you're Dante, if you're going down, like, I'd like to be Virgil. Like, I've been there with you. can I help you? And so to your point, how do I coach them? Like, if you're not open to it, then I have nothing for you. But the people who come to me are like, hey, scary down here, right? Yeah. And you're normal to feel that way. Right. It's going to get better, right? Yeah, it will. But it's going to get worse first. Would you like some help? Yes, I would like some help. I would like some advice. And so that humility of, hey, and doctors especially, because somewhere in there, I think it's sort of established that any kind of doctor, healthcare provider has been taught that they're supposed to supply answers. They've been taught through school. Their job is to diagnose, supply answers. That's what they do as they interface all the world is to be the answer supplier, which, as we know, creates lots of problems when they're interacting with human beings outside of their practice. Right. But when it comes to running the business, most of them will say, hey, you know, I got 5 to 25 years of training, know tons about my craft, know nothing, 0% about how to run a business. They don't know what to do after that sentence comes out of their mouth, though. And so most of them, if they're early on, feel like they got the answers, then don't need or want help. Somewhere down the line, enough lessons, hard knocks, punches in the face. I mean, the Mike Tyson quote, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Once they've been punched in the face a few times, they're like, hey, so I'm real smart and all, but you know, you have anything to share? So, and they're ready.
Now, you mentioned, you know, that the image of the doctor that, you know, has some skills and whatnot, but is unsure of the business. And as you're continuing to paint the picture of the client that you can help the most, Like, you've seen it where they have become the most successful because they took on these characteristics that made them a good client or a
coach. 100%. I can answer that with one word that will take a lot of unpacking. Well, it's multiple words when I add it in there. Oh, the one word is abundance. The rest of the words are mindset. So there's two types of leaders, generally speaking, but very notably, very different flavors of leaders in healthcare. Abundance minded, scarcity minded. Scarcity minded, you know, we got to reduce costs over here. You know, it's getting worse. Insurance is getting worse. You know, we're paying our lab techs. I mean, I don't know who they think they are, but we got to get those costs down. And everything is tax and structure and all on the mechanics. Like, I don't have any desire to talk to that person who, at least if that's where they think the end of the road is. The abundance mindset is, you know what? I think we could make a positive impact here. I used to at least believe that. I think we might be healing people. I think I would like to love people here better. And I think I may be scared to talk about what I believe, but maybe I could believe that if people knew what was in my heart, that they would follow me more convictedly, that I'm afraid that everybody thinks I'm just money motivated, but the truth is I'm not just money motivated. I am money scared because the stakes are super high. We've got massive capital outlay in healthcare practices and a massive debt service that like is truly terrifying, right? You know, the amount. So the idea that you're freaked out about money is not crazy, but sometimes it kind of affects the packaging. So right. If you're an abundance minded leader and you're thinking, you know, it would be nice if people loved to work here. It would be nice if people could appreciate some growth and I can mentor a person or two and people. And if I could leave this practice better than I found it or leave people thinking that they were, that's all you need. If you have the desire to do that, we can pull the obstacles out of the way. Now there's big obstacles and a lot of head trash around, you know, if you've got a toxic culture and we've got a lot of fear of money issues. And, you know, if you've got a toxic culture, you can say things that get weaponized against you and leading into an open-hearted, value-driven, healthy culture, you know, is a minefield. You know, it might get worse before it gets better.
I love that. I love that dichotomy between the abundance and the scarcity mindset. So now let's take this entrepreneur that you've helped kind of get to a point now where there's four or five employees around them. And one of the things I've seen is that the leader, the owner, the entrepreneur, all of a sudden looks around and says, "Oh, I'm supposed to be the leader of these people."
Right.
I don't even know what that means. I even had somebody ask me the other day, "How do I become a better leader?" How would you answer that, Mark? What's the first steps to recognizing and then implementing, becoming a better leader?
Right. So that's it goes back to the question of what is my ideal role? And I don't want you to listen to, I don't want anybody to listen to this and think like you got to figure it out today. It's a right. journey, but you got to answer it and you might change your answer. That's actually fair. You might decide, you know, I'm the visionary today. No, actually I'm not the visionary anymore. I'm more, I love my craft and I want to be a practitioner 2 days a week. And that's all I want to do. Or like a lot, if you're a plastic surgeon, and you're internationally known, it's going to be hard for you to let go of the craft. If you're a CRNA and none of your patients have ever even seen you because you're putting people under as an anesthesiologist, and then you're like, you know what? I kind of done with that. I have a passion for the business. Okay, that's fine. So we can be a manager. We can run the business. Somewhere in there, you got to figure out where am I going with this? And to be a better leader, if what that means to you is I want to set the direction for this organization, I want to be the steward of the culture, I want to have a clear voice of what acceptable standard of care is, and I want the patients to have the experience that I know we can provide, that's a visionary leader. That means you will have to, but more than anything else, you will have to figure out how to delegate the individual contribution piece. And most of all, the management piece. You're going to have somebody doing that work, and because you are not really going to be able to do it at the same time. That's one of the things we talk about in EOS a lot, the dichotomy of visionary leadership and what we call the integrator, which is sort of that master manager, the true leader of the a true leader manager of the organization, where the leader is really not that great at management, not good at hard conversations, not doing follow-up, not sitting down and operating inside the machine of the business of where's inventory, has accountability good, and are we communicating well. Like, good visionaries, good leaders in that sense are usually really bad at that because they're just eager to get into the future. So you have to start by being self-aware. And that leadership work is the hardest work. It is the least tangible, least linear. It is so kind of sporadic all over the place. And it really starts with self-care. It starts with trusting yourself. It starts with believing that you could be doing something of high value. And it's a journey. And it start, like I said, starts with that self-care. Delegate the stuff that other people can be good at. Start asking yourself the question, like, hey, maybe I'm not the very best administrator. Who would be? Who could be a little bit better than what I'm doing? And it's that journey to keep going back to going inward. Who am I? Who do I want to lead? For you to know what kind of practice you want to create, you got to know who you are. And so, yeah, I hate to leave it with such a kind of intangible thing, but it really starts to become about self-knowledge. What kind of person am I? What are my core values? What kind of culture would I lead? And that is the essence of the leadership.
Love it. Love it. We're going to go down the road here for a second, kind of a negative take on this. But before we even started recording, you coined a new term for me, and that was carcinogenous.
Causes cancer. Let's go with that.
Let's act carcinogenous, because you said there are some things, some systems that people have in their business that are cancer causing in your business. And I'm sure you've experienced and seen some of those things. What have you learned in helping diagnose that for businesses?
Well, assuming we're talking about the same thing, this is really interesting you brought this up, because this is a particular area that I'm trying to make scientific and fixable. And so it's what I encountered was something bluntly, why do we have so many jerk doctors? Like, we got jerked out. What do we do with them? And they're a problem, right? And depending on the organization, it's sort of like, yeah, but what do you do? And I'm like, well, what? This is very much one of those high contrast situations where, like, every other business I've ever worked at knows what to do. Why don't you? And so I had to figure out what it was that was causing this cancer at higher incidence. You know, why are healthcare, it's like, is it too close to the nuclear plant? What was it's causing all this going on? And so what I unpacked was what I call the four conditions that create toxic leadership. The four conditions of toxic leadership are high standards of excellence or expertise, which has to do with exclusivity. Like, you have a unique skill set, it's scarce. That condition has to be true, and or at least the perception of it. So I'm a doctor, I'm the only one can do the surgery. Okay. That condition is true. We're working towards potential toxicity, which isn't bad, but it's a condition. Second condition is perception of high stakes or urgency, which can kind of go together. That if this goes wrong, bad things happen, which of course justifies collateral consequence potentially. It's like, look, this is life or death situation. I don't want your feeling. Your feelings don't matter relative to someone's life. This has to happen now. The third condition is inconsistent or absent feedback. That is to say, that's great job saving their life. I'm not going to mention how you absolutely dismantled the nurse in terms and called her an idiot. Mm-hmm. So this is an inconsistent set of feedback. Yep. Or it's not at all. And in many healthcare situations, it's like, here, take this medication and go. And there is no feedback. Like, did that medication work? Like, no one knows. No one will ever find out if that works. So that's part of it. The fourth one, which is closely related, inconsistent or absent consequences. So those are obviously paired up. Letting somebody get away with it is the message. Like, even if you tell them that was not okay, do they know that there is a consequence to that? And so we see very quickly that this is ripe. This is everywhere. I can't tell a doctor what to do. I'll say this. I'm afraid to say that. No one leads the doctors here. You know, how do you lead a doctor? So the second two conditions are really kind of paired up. Once you have the first two conditions in place, and those are there, they're absolutely there. The second two, we got to sort of take away. And we see very simple that there's all kinds of applications for that model all throughout the cycle. Anytime we've got feedback that's not telling us what we need, you should be red alert that bad things are going to happen. We're going to incent weird behavior. And then the consequences is how we teach what to pay attention to and what not to pay attention to. So in those organizations, you know, the prescription here is very simple. We have to learn how to give consistent feedback which means we better know what our standard of excellence is, and I'm going very fast into this. In fact, I'll slow it down a tiny bit. One of the most critical things you can do is establish your culture in the form of core values. So there is a way, and everybody in this organization has the same set of rules. And this is probably mind blowing to a lot of organizations. Like, we're going to have a culture where the doctors and the healthcare providers are living by the same set of social standards as the lab techs and the front desk. Yes, 100%. And that's going to take some work. But once you do that, you can start giving feedback. Say, hey, great job preventing blindness. And I love that, but I have to be honest, if you treat that nurse like that one more time, you're going to be fired. Yeah. And that goes all the way into consequence, because this is a larger, there's 300 people in this organization. I'm thinking of somebody in particular, but it could be 10. There's 10, 15, 20, 300 people in this organization. And when you violate the social rules, everybody suffers, and it's not about you anymore. It's about this entire organization, the reputation, and all the consequences. So hopefully I'm building the picture that when we get out of the mindset of fear from those four conditions with one individual, we start to see from the abundance mindset and the massive impact that, wait, you know, there's a bigger picture here. And if we all act within a set of guidelines and agreed core values that you can get to, I want to force that point through. Like, if you're fearful, like, I don't have enough doctors to choose from, I got to have these people. And that's not true. That is not true at all. You can be picky. You can get the right people. There are receptive people who are like, I actually want to work for a good, healthy place to work. And there are plenty that don't. And you have to filter them out. You can create a community and a culture that is happy to abide by those. They want that feedback. They want to know how they can improve, because that feedback is really kind of absent in healthcare in general. Like, it's like you can't talk about practice, and you can't give people negative feedback. That is built into the legacy of the past. And I'm here to say that is falling apart. Like, that is no longer table stakes anymore. There are many practices who are saying, hey, by the way, we actually want the feedback. Hey, by the way, you don't have to call me doctor. Hey, by the way, I'm a human being too. Hey, wouldn't it be great if I could actually be better 5 years from now than I am today by continued improvement, which is not how it was done before. So I went way down the path on that. Does that answer your question at all?
Oh, it's beautiful. You know, as you were saying these things, I was thinking about the theme. Actually, I'm going to put a little plug in here for Chiro Life, which is the conference that I put on in December. I think it's 8th and 9th. It's the second weekend of that month. But the theme this year is build your army. And it made me think of that when you're talking about that. You're looking for those people that fit, that are coachable, that, you know, can work within the system, that, you know, where there's consequences and there's good feedback. And not everybody's going to fit in your army. But you want to go to war with people that fit. You know, if you're all different, and it's just not going to work. Yes, for those chiropractors that are interested in that conference, chirolifeconference.com is where you find out information about that. But we're going to discuss these kind of topics. And my goodness, you know, Mark, this has been a tremendous, you know, 45 minutes here. I think I have more notes. I scribbled a whole bunch of notes here. Probably more notes than I've done in a long time with a guest. So thank you for that personally. I appreciate all of this. I do want to ask you though, because you've got a podcast, and the podcast is called Practice Freedom. What was your thought process in putting a podcast together, and what's the purpose of it?
Well, it's really simple. I'm going to tie it back to the conference. Go to the conference. Like, you go to the conference, because what I'm encountering is that there is an internal feedback loop on mindset of the past, that it is really important that you recognize that if you're talking to somebody who thinks this is impossible, this is hard, and telling you you can't delegate and telling you that this is not possible to lead a healthy, fun, vibrant practice, get away from them and hang out with people who know the difference and know the contrary, and get around people who, because that's exactly what I hear is happening. When the light bulb goes on, entrepreneurial healthcare leaders hang around non-healthcare entrepreneurial leaders. Are like, no, this is what you do, and it works every time. And they do, and they're like, oh my God, it worked. We delegate, we grow, we drive accountability. Everybody's accountable. Everybody's part of an amazing culture, and it works. So you have to be around people who can tell the story in specific enough ways that you see your next move. That's the trick, right? So it's one thing to know I could get to the other side, but what's the next move for you right now? And that's very specific, and you have to be looking for that. So going to a conference is an amazing way to get those sort of like next steps. So that's what the podcast is about. It's I am interviewing people who are on the other side of that, who went through the journey, who can model from all sorts, all healthcare disciplines, from chiro to optometry to plastic surgery to orthopedics. It doesn't matter in the healthcare space, because I think that's important context, that, you know, I don't think a lot of healthcare practices are taking a lot of advice from pipe suppliers and dry cleaners, right? So I want this to be credible enough that we can use cross-pollinate, but seeing what it's like when the culture is healthy, seeing what it's like when the value drive is high and everyone's loyal and excited, and it's making a massively healing impact and yielding a great life, and the people who are leading it and starting it are feeling like they're making their biggest contribution and it's worth it. And I want to hear the stories and make it seem and make it real that it's possible for the ones who are not there yet to get there. So it's that. And then I do solo episodes where I unpack specific concepts in between those, so we can really give you the sense, because it's very real that healthcare education for those healthcare leaders is massive. The expertise is super high, and the concepts that are behind running business and culture, those you don't have those. and you're like, you're not getting it, and that's okay. Totally okay. And so I want to be able to slow those concepts down and say, this is what I mean by culture. This is what I mean. This is what a visionary is. This wasn't what an integrator is. This is what accountability is like. These are the levers you can work with in terms of how you manage staffing constraints. And so I want to give you really specific ways to unpack it, because I want you to believe. I want you to have a next step. I want you to be on that journey to practice freedom, as we call it, the journey to practice freedom, to feel like the practice is free and you're going to continue to up your skill set. And so we can create that community of thousands of entrepreneurial healthcare organizations across the country who are living their best life, making the biggest impact, and helping transform the industry we all know needs massive transformation.
Yeah, no, beautiful. I love the vision and the mission and what you're doing. I'm going to be a new listener. So thanks for introducing our group of people here through Big Fish and everything I'm doing, and Chiro Feast, the podcast. These are the kind of things that if you want to dip into people that are honest and people that are willing to give you the good, the bad, the ugly, all of that, just be around that energy. Listen to Practice Freedom and keep listening to Chiro Feast. This is the kind of content that we bring. So, Mark, this is exactly why you and I resonated when we got on the phone a couple months ago. And I appreciate you. I appreciate your mission to help people in the healthcare industry. So thank you for doing that.
It's a true privilege. I'm so glad we met, and I know we're doing the same stuff. You know, we're in the same community. There's so much to do, and it's just great to know there's more people doing it. And every day I'm meeting more people who are equally passionate. And so it's just very exciting. Every conversation I have is more exciting than the last. So it's just so thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. So our podcast, sometimes when people listen to our podcast episodes, they get a nugget. You know, and that's what you want. You want to be able to, you know, listen to a podcast episode and come away with a nugget. But sometimes you come away with a whole platter. And today, I think you gave us that, Mark. Thanks for giving us a platter of things to think about. Honestly, this was an episode that I personally would like to re-listen to two or three times, because there's so many nuggets in there that that you can take and develop in your business and you can get better at. So I would encourage the listeners to re-listen to this. You know, maybe give it a week, give it a month, whatever. Re-listen to this again. You'll probably hear something different. You'll probably absorb something a little bit differently. Because there was just a lot of meat and a lot of food on the platter today. So thank you for that, Mark. Mark Henderson Leary, will have contact information in the notes. Please go to the notes of this episode. Find the link for the podcast that Mark does. I'll put the link for our conference in there as well. And again, thanks. Thanks for being with us, Mark. And we appreciate your time, your energy, and your passion. And stay hungry, my friends, and always pay it forward.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I'm Rachel, the marketing director of Big Fish Enterprises. If you or a colleague are interested in learning the secret sauce to getting a high volume of quality new patients fast, our program, Team Doc, could be the perfect fit for you. Learn more about Team Doc and coaching with Dr. Jeff by visiting www.mybigfishenterprises.com. We'll see you next week.